they like what you say, and also they like you and me. And today, I just want to take it from there. I'm just going to look into the Bible and look at what the scriptures talk about the word of God. How important is the word of God in our lives? And I've told them the story that is very familiar with us. The story from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. So before I read, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful time that we have achieved. And that we hear your word has been read and also been found. So thank you, Lord. We just pray for your spirit that help us to understand your word. Our ears be open, Lord, that we can respond to the message that you have for us this morning. And you give me the kind of thought and goodness that I can present your truth, Lord, in the way that you want your people to pray. So thank you once again, and we pray that your spirit be with us, we begin to be in the name of our integrity of Christ. Amen. So I'm reading from ESV. It says, Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, so she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Now, this section of the scripture will be starting from chapter 9, from verse 51, throughout to chapter 19, verse 44. And we just talked about the journey that Jesus had when he was when he left Galilee and going to Jerusalem. And that was the journey that Jesus Christ is going to be crucified in Jerusalem. And Mark and Luke is emphasizing some important events that happened during this journey. And one of that is the one that we have today that we have just read. It's about the story about Jesus Christ and what happened at the house of Martha. But for us to understand very well this passage, we need to ask the question, why is it Luke, keeping this passage in this your place? We have chosen it elsewhere. But why is he choosing to put this passage in this section and what we have read today? So before our passage, we need to understand what is happening. Okay, so Jesus has left Galilee and his own, and as he's on his way, before this passage, we hear the story about the lawyer who came to Jesus Christ. And then this lawyer comes to Jesus Christ and asks, which one is the law that is above all other law? And then Jesus asked him, like, what do you need in the law, and what do you find? And then the lawyer says, it's only that we should love our God with all our soul and our strength, and also we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus, you know, he did not argue with what he said. He said, yeah, you have read it well, and that's what you're supposed to what? To do for you to have life, for you to live. And I want to look at why? But then after that, you know, Jesus is giving the story of a Samaritan, okay? And how the religious authorities of that time, the Jewish religious authorities, you know, treated this Samaritan. Treated this like a person who was a Jew, who was being beaten, and then the Samaritan came and took care of that. And then in a way, this story, Jesus is not just talking, you're just talking like anyhow, but he's responding to the question in order to show this lawyer to say, you Jews, you know, have not managed to obey God perfectly because you already have the enemy. Remember, the lawyer said that, yes, even the great commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor. But then Jesus is, you know, like deliberately showing them to say, yes, you have said the truth, but look at the way how you Jews live. You know, and then he's giving this story of a Samaritan and a Jewish who was beaten. In order just to show that the Jews themselves, they couldn't manage to obey the law perfectly, and they couldn't live because of the law. And then now, soon after that story, is where we find our story. And why is he putting it here? I feel like there is a relation. You know, it links very well with that other thing. Because in a way, Luke is saying that, look, here, Jews, you have failed to live by the law. But the next story is kind of like trying to give us the best way of living. You know, that people can never live because of the law. But now he's demonstrating to say that there is a better way of living. This way of living is when you when you listen, when you pay attention to what Jesus teaches. And that's what exactly we find. So now, in our story, we see that Jesus is on this journey, and now Luke is telling us that he comes into this village, but we are not told, you know, what kind of village was it. But if you read your Bible very well, go to John chapter 11, verse 1. We are told there. And we are sure that these are the same people that are mentioned. Because in this passage, we have heard about Martha, Mary, and their brother, Lazarus. And we know that these people, as is put in the Gospel of John, they lived in Bethany. Okay, so Bethany was, you know, like a village 2 miles from Jerusalem. So it means that Jesus now was nearing Jerusalem. And we are told from this story that as they near now Jerusalem, what happened? They went, verse number 8. They entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So Martha had a house. Just maybe tells us that it could be that she was a, you know, like older among the Jews, because that was how she was able to take care of her sister and Lazarus as well. So it might be that she was the eldest, and she had this responsibility of having a house and looking after her sister. And then now, I want you to picture, you know, to have this picture of what was happening here. Now, Jesus is this. Probably he had disciples. So they were like kind of like 30 people all together. Okay? So they are coming into this house. And as per the customs or the tradition, when there are people that are coming from far away, what was supposed to be done, the best thing was to ask, what were? So if you are poor like me, that is going to have slaves during this time. But that means you are supposed to do what? To do the job, to show the best. So we are not told that, maybe this part they were doing together, you know, like two of them. But now, you know, you can imagine, you know, I believe that they didn't have hammers and whatever, they didn't have rubber shoes like we have right now, they were putting on sandals and things, they
No, the journey with you was not just like one day. They suffered for some days, and the feet were, I believe that maybe they were so dead, and they had to do that kind of job. So like 6-7 people, which means Jesus was accompanied by his disciples. And then if Lazarus was there, which John chapter 11 tells us that he was there, maybe also, I'm just assuming that they should have some visitors, maybe one or two, that as you know, like just to come and see the Lord is in our house. So it might be that there were 16 people, maybe more than that. Okay, so picture that this time they didn't have, you know, like Uber Eats and KFC and whatever that they could just, you know, like do on the phone and food comes. Because they're supposed to do the cooking by themselves. And we see that as Jesus has entered the house, you know, but Ruth is telling us that Mary, verse number 39. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the road seat and listened to his teaching. The question is, are you sitting down during this time? You know, I believe that it was a very, very busy time. But, you know, like before we look at, you know, like her gesture, Mary's gesture, I want us just to look at the way how Lucas put it. Okay? Like what he wants to communicate with us about Mary. We are told that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to this, to Christ speaking. What kind of posture is this? You're sitting down at the Lord's feet and listening to this teaching. During this time, this was the posture of disciples or learners. They sat at the feet of their teachers. That is beneath them in a humble place, as we see in Acts chapter 22, verse 3, where Luke tells us that Paul was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. When it is said that Mary sat at Jesus' feet, Luke wants to show us that she was Christ's disciple who was willing to listen attentively to his instructions and teaching, and was anxious to learn his teaching. So we can see that Mary and Jesus, you know, when Mary did not sit at Jesus' feet, primarily that he spoke about what he would say, okay, the way how kind of improving that I'm not satisfied, I don't understand. But the Bible says that she was like a disciple who sat there, you know, quietly listening to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we see that this did not sit well with Martha. We are told in verse number 4 that Martha was distracted with much serving. So the word that is translated here as distracted, literally, it is like in Greek, the word that properly signifies to be drawn different ways at the same time. Okay, so Martha was drawn at different ways at the same time. You know, when the Bible says she was distracted, in her mind, there was no peace in her mind. Martha's mind was surrounded with so many objects of care that she didn't know which to attend to. And this did not take time, but she battled with frustration. She battled with frustration, and the Bible tells us that now she comes, you know, like she comes to Jesus Christ. Okay, she comes to Jesus Christ, and look at what she's doing. What is she doing? She's blaming Jesus Christ. She's accusing her. She says this in verse number 4. It says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. In a way, she's saying, Lord, what's wrong with you? We see that, yes, she's kind of like saying, Lord, like it shows that she really, you know, like show worship. But let me say, what's wrong with you that you can just leave me and you can just, you know, leave me working alone as you are there? Can you tell my sister, you know, to come and help me? know, she has, she thought, you know, her frustration was as a result of Mary, you know, like not helping her. But look at the way how Jesus Christ responds. Look at Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is missing. So you know that before church of that, you know that moment, Martha was distracted and troubled about many other cases, but like how do I understand Jesus Christ? Okay, that's what took, it wasn't just because of Mary, but she herself put herself, I mean, like, in this position where she couldn't have, like, a settled mind. And the way how Jesus responded, you know, like the tender response, like, whenever in the Bible a name is repeated, it shows, like, love and kindness. You know, even though Martha was somehow, like, hostile, like, why did you leave me alone? I mean, like, why did you leave me? You sit alone and you are just looking at us. But Jesus says, Now you are anxious for many things. But one thing is important. Jesus cares for man. But now let's I just have to look at what Jesus said here in other translations. So this phrase, you know, one thing is important. In the message, it says one thing only is essential. Okay? Jesus says, one thing only is essential. And in the New King James Version, it translates it as, but one thing is needed. Okay? And then in the Good News Translation, it says, but just one thing is needed. And in the NIV, it says, but only one thing is needed. And then lastly, in the New Living Translation, it says, there is only one thing worthy being concerned about. There is only one thing worthy concern about. You know, Jesus looked in her heart and see that her frustration was as a result of misplacing the priority in her life. Okay? She misplaced the important thing. She didn't do the important thing that her sister Mary did. Okay, so I wanted you to look at this. Jesus is not trying to say that, oh Mary, I mean, if you matter, you are wrong. What says this is wrong? He didn't say that. So that doesn't mean that, like, doing service, it is something wrong that and it's, you know, like, should be avoided. No, it is a very, very, very good thing to do that, to save other people. But Jesus is not trying to to contrast, but he's comparing. Okay, he's comparing, you know, what service during this particular time. Service and sitting down, that Mary saw, sitting down under Jesus' feet and listening to his teaching. You know, Jesus shows Martha that there is something more important. She demanded her attention and could have been done first and most regarded. And what is this most important thing, or the needed or the essential thing that other translation has put? Paying attention to God's way. Jesus said that there is only one thing that is important, and that is paying attention to my way, listening to my teaching. Let's look at the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42, I just wanted to read this. The same author, it is believed that wrote Acts, which is Luke. He put it this way. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 42. Starting from verse 4, it says, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received this word were baptized, and they were added that they are about 2,000 souls. And then, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and of faith and of prayer. See, you know, like in the early church, that, you know, listening to God's word, listening to the teaching, was very, you know, peripheral. It wasn't something that they could do, you know, like as a plan B. But they put listening to the word of God as a very important thing here, alongside with prayer and also fellowship and doing the Holy Communion. But I want, maybe these words are echoing, or maybe they are kind of like directed to you this morning. Your life is big distracted. Your life, you know, like your life is kind of like what you want to say. I know that being students is not easy. There are a lot of, you know, like, there's a lot of things that are happening. Lots of things that happen in our country, you know, like in our families and all these kind of things. But my question is that, have you misplaced your priorities? Are you able to put things that are very important in your life to be the same? Or maybe you're just carried along with the flow. I'm reminded of the story in the Old Testament, you know, the prophet Haggai. When the children of Israel, remember they were in the exile. And after some time, Silas issued an edict and they came back to Jerusalem, to Palestine. And we see that, instead of like them being, you know, to be like big with God, eventually they kind of like slipped off and begin to concentrate on their own stuff. Okay, they abandon the building of the temple and all these kind of things and begin to build their own what? Judith houses. And then the prophet comes and kind of like rebuke them to say, Is this the time for you, you know, like to be building nice houses and neglecting the way? So in a way, he was not saying that building their houses was wrong. Building their houses was good, was great. They were supposed to live, remember these people, they were in the world. But neglecting something that was important, neglect them to suffer the consequences that they were suffering during that time. And Haggai said that you need to consider your way. And I believe that's what Jesus is kind of like telling what? Telling Martha. Say, Martha, consider your life. So my question to you this morning is that, how is your life? Are you at peace? Are your priorities right? Mary chose to listen to Christ speaking, and she chose that. And Jesus said that this was very, very important choice. A humble attention to the voice of the gospel, the voice of Jesus Christ. How do we speak the word of God? Do we speak the word of God with content? You know, like I remember Reverend Zulu some weeks ago was kind of like challenging us the way how we come and to listen to the devotion. Sometimes some people are speaking, sometimes some people are, you know, like they are sending messages and it's just like, you know, like speaking the word of God with content. But Jesus, I don't know how you see the word of God in your life. But Jesus is telling us, he says, paying attention to the word of God, paying attention to my teaching, it is very important thing. And he said that it has got eternal value. It is not just about, you know, like temporal things that we go through, but he says Mary has chosen something that is important for us and we cannot be taken away. Literally, to say that this is eternal value, it has got eternal value. Do you regard even what you are doing here? Are you just, you know, somewhere else, you know, if these things that are happening? Or are you paying attention? What about in your church? Do you go there, you know, gradually? You know, as the writer of Hebrews says that you not expect the time to take all the things. You go there gradually, or it's like, oh, what the problem is today that I'm going to change? Even for the devotions that we have, exams is just at the corner and the semester. We see sometimes that the students are in the corners, they're hiding in the. Do you think that maybe it's just part of, like, let's say I'm trying to know, add some liver if that's already, you know, already means that we're still in assignment. Let me just, you know, like, check it. How can we add some more liver to students? Okay, let's have devotion. Is it like that? Or is it something that we are charged with, like what Jesus said here? He said that it is very important and that we need to pay attention to the teaching of the Bible. I want to conclude, finish with what should we do in this passage that we have read. I think there are a number of ways, there are a number of methods that we can take. The way how we can respond to this. But I just wanted to talk about only three. Number one, we should not allow the constraints of this law to distract us from the things of eternal value. What does it mean to ask you? We should not allow the things of this law. I know that, you know, as you know, it's going to say by God and everything. We are not trying to say that it is not. But when they begin to, you know, distract us from prioritizing God's way, then there is a what? I believe there is a problem. I just wanted to share with you my story. I was an assistant pastor back home in Malawi. And my duty, one of the duties was to teach at the Bible College. So I used to, you know, like, from month after the first week, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday week, you know, teaching way. And on Saturday, maybe I should prepare the sermon and to preach and all the kind of things. My life was just, you know, so busy that I didn't have even time. You know, I remember one time I was exhausted at night. Exhausted, you know, not because what I was doing was wrong. You know, it is good that I was serving, but there was no peace in my life, even though there was no joy in my life because of all these things that I was doing in the name, you know, of serving. And I never, that night I woke up and said, what I'm doing is wrong. I need to prioritize time, you know, of studying the word of God for myself, not just to teach or maybe to preach, but to apply that God's truth in my life. So I would encourage us from this passage to say that we should not allow. If it is happening in your life, this is the time now. What is going on in my life? The things of this world. I know that on Monday they said that they will shut down. You know, if people going around. It is so surprising that we're going to see some pictures from this world. They're running. No. We need to come to the place that the things of this world should not distract us from the things of eternal value. Number two, we should ensure that we set aside time and our energy for studying and hearing the word of God. And this means that it's not just only by studying the word of God, but also to change the world. To know more about, you know, Jesus Christ. Not that we should have, you know, like the knowledge that comes up, but the knowledge that can transform our lives. You know, through the understanding who God is and what He is doing in our lives. So this is something that we need to, you know, like to kind of like intentionally spend time. We are here, but our minds are somewhere. I wanted to ask this morning, look at Jesus. I wanted to ask, look at Jesus, to say that, you know, that even though we do something to fail, there is one who appears in our place. The Bible told us that He even comes to a place where He said that to do God's will is my what? My food. to do God's will with my food. When the disciples came with, you know, food, say, oh, eat something. Jesus said, I'm fine. When I'm doing God's will, it's fine with what? With me. So in the times that we see that we are fooled, you know, to pay attention to what God is doing, we need to look at Jesus Christ. Something in Him that what He do is also for our benefit. And we need to be thankful for what He is in our behalf. I wanted to end the story. I want to end this devotion with this story by R.C. Sproul. I don't know the pronunciation, whether it's Sproul or Sproul. He talks about the story that happened in Australia. Okay, there was a bishop, Anglican bishop there, who had a curate. I don't know if curate is a vicar, it's a sister. And then one morning, one Sunday, this vicar or the African pastor came in the morning before they start the service, and his face was looking not like mine. He didn't shave his beard. Okay, and then the bishop, he's wondering, how come that this morning you did not shave your beard? And this vicar responded, said that I do shave depending on the, what the Holy Spirit tells me. Okay? I do shave depending on what the Holy Spirit. And then this morning, the Holy Spirit did not tell me what? To shave. That's why you see me that the way how I'm looking. And the bishop answered, his son said, why can't you make it easier for the Holy Spirit and for yourself? Just make it as a principle that you should what? You should shave when you feel that hair. What is this story telling us? No, there are some times that we don't feel to be, to come and be part of the devotion. We don't feel to study the word of God. Why can't you just make it a principle and start following me to say that I'm not going to miss devotion from now? As far as I'm at school, and I'm not going to need to study lecturing the word of God. Make it as simple. Don't wait for somebody and the way how you feel. You see, I don't feel like just making a decision. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your way this morning. And now we are rebuked, Father, because you know how much you have treated your way. We pray, Lord, for your Spirit to help us so that we can know that no way has been given by you in our lives. And that we can respond by simply coming on to study your way. By encouraging us, Jesus, by the potential value in our lives, to be most important. Forgive us, Lord, in the way that we are forgiven and filled with joy to be most important. We thank you that this message has come proper time and time to be. We understand, Lord, that there's something that we want to learn from this. We give our hearts to you.